Well, tonight, the topic is avoiding Satan's traps. And one of my scriptures is 1 Timothy 6:6, godliness with contentment is great gain. Being content is our safeguard to not falling into the devil's traps. If you are not content with the Lord, it reveals where the love of your heart is. You are on your way to falling into the devil's trap if you are not content with the Lord and content where you are. You know, when we know the Lord, we can trust him to make us, as Paul, content in all circumstances, in everything. Like Paul says, whether I'm in jail or not, or whether I'm hungry or not, whatever, the Lord can make us content. Discontentment is a clear pathway for Satan to capture us and then place us under his control and his guidance to keep us from staying on the right track, to keep us from being where God wants us to be. The Lord has a plan. The devil is very divisive, and it is to destroy what God can do in our hearts and wants to do. It's to hinder God's plan. So he sets traps. And I might say, which I will say at the end in closing, that we can be our biggest enemy in falling into traps. We can, because we have a choice to make in this. Satan offered Jesus all that the world had to offer, but because Jesus knew he had a contented heart, he fell not. So Matthew 4:8-10 gives us this account. Again, the devil took him up into an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. Because you know what? This old world gives us a picture of a false glory, a false beauty, when it really isn't. The world has nothing lasting to offer to us. This world's going to pass away. We're going to pass away. And if we have not invested our heart, our life into the Lord and what his word says, then we've missed the mark. We've missed our opportunity. So he showed him the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and said unto him, all of these things will I give you if you will fall down and worship me. And then Jesus said unto him, get ye hence, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. You know, it's a real important thing when the devil tries to tempt you to do something that you know is not God's will. Let me take that a step further. Maybe tempts you or puts a thought in your mind to do something that you are not 100% on. Don't do it. Tell him to get behind you. Get behind me, Satan. Resist him and he will flee from you. He'll leave you alone. You have to resist him. The flesh will always sell you out. The saying, actions speak louder than words. What's really in the heart will always at some point surface. And you know, I'm grateful for that. You might say, why? I'm grateful that if I don't see something in my heart, that if I am a Christian, the Lord's going to let me see it, because the Lord does not want me to be fooled by it. He does not want me to be deceived by something that I do not realize is in my heart. So I'm grateful that what's in my heart will at some point surface. Because Matthew 6:21 says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I think it's a very good question for all of us to ask ourselves. Am I sold out for the Lord? He gave everything for us. He did not hold back one thing. He gave his life so that we could be set free, so that we could know him. So to know where your heart is a blessing. That is a step in the right direction, to know what is in my heart. Because if I didn't know, I wouldn't be able to deal with it. But as a Christian, when you really sincerely want to know what's in your heart, the Lord will let you know it. When we are faced with decisions or temptations, if you are a saved individual, the Holy Spirit that lives within your heart is always trying to direct us into the right way. And we know there's a right way and a wrong way. He speaks with a voice which Christians hear. Christians can hear his voice. If you know him, the Holy Spirit that lives within our hearts will allow us to know the right way. And then we have a choice to make. It's when a Christian takes his eyes off the Lord that he is setting himself up for failure. He aids himself into falling into the trap by his own choice. This is for a Christian. If we make the wrong choice and God has been trying to speak to us, there must be a spirit of rebellion in our heart to God. There's something deeper than what meets the surface. We need to find it out. We need to know where we are. We need to know if we love the Lord enough to surrender the things that kind of get our attention. You know, the scripture sometimes talks about the sounds of the world. There's many sounds. If you love the Lord with all of your heart, when you're tempted as a Christian, there will go off an alarm to warn you that you should not go a step further. That alarm goes off. It's a troubling thing. It's something that goes off. The Holy Spirit is pricking that heart. He's letting you know, don't do this. He's watching over you. At this point, when this warning or this signal goes off, this is the biggest step and most important step in your Christian walk that you can ever take. Because you can, whatever choice you make right then, if you decide I'm not going to heed this, I'm going to go on my own way, I'm going to follow what I want to do, and it can be the biggest trap you've ever stepped into. This proves where the heart is and how surrendered to God your will and your desires are. What's in the heart will surface at some point. Matthew 22, 37 and 38 says, Jesus declared, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. Boy, that's the first and greatest commandment, because everything else in our lives follow after this. That is the foundation. And if we don't love him with all of our heart, mind, and soul, and it's easy sometimes living in this world not even to realize, but to be drawn away from the Lord and allow the world to step in. And you know, with all of the things going on in the world today, sometimes we put ourselves in positions that we think we're going to straighten out the world. And you know what? We need to be careful, because God is in control. The thing that we need to be careful about and make certain of is that we are in the center of God's will. There's many traps. And I tell you what, I am sitting here. I got saved when I was 21. And I can look back, and there are times that I know without a doubt that I made a decision that was not right. But you know what? The Lord didn't let me go on in that because he knew that it was wrong. And as I walked with him and my love grew for him and my trust grew for him, I did not want to displease the Lord. I lost a lot of confidence in myself. And my confidence in God grew. Salvation. It's a right relationship with God that makes this possible. For us to be able to know what God wants for us to walk in his will and not to fall into traps. This makes everything about God and not about me. It's when I cause everything to center around me, my wants, my desires, my thoughts, my plans, that everything gets off God's track. And we cause ourselves much heartache and pain. The result of finding myself in a trap rather than walking in his will is the final result of this. There are many voices in the world competing for our attention. If you're a Christian today, you're in a warfare. There's no other way around it. That's not my words, that's God's words. And that's where we need to be careful. Sometimes we can quote scripture, we know it, and we quote it, but we do not take it to heart and we do not live it. None can compare to the still, soft voice of the Lord. My sheep know my voice and they won't follow any other. That is a very good scripture to know that God keeps his own and his own will follow him. They may be tempted, but the Lord makes a way of escape. 1 John 4:1 says that, so there's many voices. And you know what? There's many evil spirits in this world. And you know what 1 John 4:1 says? It says to test the spirits to make sure they are God. How do you think we get out of God's will? That thought comes in our mind that this is what I ought to be doing. I ought to be doing that or this or whatever. And first thing you know, you're so far out of God's will that if it were not for the Lord and his mercy, we'd not find our way back. But the Lord says, if you're mine, you're going to follow me and I'll make a way of escape. I'll make a way. The Lord will strengthen you to do what God wants you to do. But like I said earlier, our biggest enemy is ourselves, the choices that we make. This is where we get off the right path. There are many good causes, but the question is whether or not I am supposed to be involved or not. There's many things that can take your attention off of the Lord. There's many things that are important. But I'm going to tell you what, there is nothing as important as knowing that I am where God wants me to be, involved with who God wants me to be involved in and with what, and that there is a real purpose in this. Let me tell you what, this world is going to pass away and we're not going to stop it. Living our lives for God the way that he wants us to is the most important thing in this world. We need to, as Christians, make a difference in the world. Beware lest the trap that the devil has for you is that the world makes an impression on you. You better guard your heart. Be careful. I'm talking to me as well. I am not above temptation, and I know that. I trust the Lord. The closer we are to the Lord and the closer that our love is and the deeper our love grows for the Lord, the safer we are from the evil one's traps. Don't forget that. There's always two voices in any matter. There's God's voice, God's thoughts, God's plans, and there's my voice, and there's the world's voice that's included in mine. Satan traps us by using various methods. When he couldn't tempt the Lord with hunger, what did he do? He moved on to something else. But you know what? The Lord, Jesus knew that his needs were provided for. He knew that. And he did not fall for that. So he moved on to something else. But you know what? Jesus came out victoriously. That's the example he has set for us. We can follow that example. And we can know that the Lord loves us and that he has a plan for us. He says he does. In Jeremiah, he says that. We use it many times for graduation ceremonies. But he says, I know the plans I have for you. They're good, not evil. Their plans to bring you to a good end. That's the Lord's plans for us. But, you know, sometimes things come around and come along, and in our human reasoning, we think, this is what I ought to do. And it may be a good purpose and a good cause. And only you can know that. You and the Lord know that. But you will be the one that will suffer for it if you make a mistake. You will be pulled into a trap. Traps are easy to get into, but I'm going to tell you, it's not easy to get out of. It really is not. It does its damage. So our safety net is first staying close to God and loving him more and putting our trust in what he tells us in his truth. That means more than anything else. That's our greatest safety net. And you know, to care and to know, I'm honest with you. One of the greatest fears I have is of being out of God's will. There was a little plaque that we had in Indonesia. As a matter of fact, it was a small one. I took it from here before we ever went to the mission field with me. And I think at some point it got left somewhere, maybe in Indonesia, maybe somebody else got to use it. But it said, the will of God will never leave you where the grace of God will not keep you. We give the Lord that opportunity when being in the center of his will means more than anything else. I take most matters. You might think I'm silly, but if an opportunity comes up for us to be involved in something or to go somewhere or whatever, you know what Mike and I do? We pray about it. We ask the Lord, is there a reason or a purpose why we should not be involved in this? Why we should not pursue this? That means a lot to us. Someone gave me that little plaque. It wasn't a little one. And I had it in my school office up at the church as long as we were teaching up there. And I loved it so much that I brought it home. And you know where it is? When you open my front door, there's a bigger door that goes, an opening that goes into my living room. I've got it right there over that door. So when anyone walks in that door, it says, the will of God will never leave you where the grace of God will not keep you. Why did I put it there? It means a lot to me. It's a reminder to me. We don't take God's plans lightly. The decisions that I make will affect my children. The decisions and plans that I make will affect my church. The decisions and plans that I make will affect my friends, the ones that I witness to, the ones that I try to help. it'll affect my family. It doesn't just affect me if I get out of God's will. Be careful with that. We need to be very careful and take this matter of knowing God's plan. He has a plan for us. We know that. The Bible tells us that. And, you know, we have to be very careful that we take that very seriously, because if we do, we're going to pray about it. We're not going to act. I'm just going to do this or I'm going to do that. Most of us as Christians would say, well, I don't do that. But how serious are we about whether God approves what we do or not? And that could be in daily life. That's where it all starts. How we conduct our lives on a daily basis is where it starts. It's not when we're around people. It's a personal thing. What am I with God? What am I before me and God? That is the most important thing that matters, because, you know, one day it will not be me and the world or me and a group of people or me and my family. It's going to be me and the Lord. And that's what matters more than anything else. What am I trying to say tonight through this lesson? I'm trying to say, be serious with the Lord. We need to be more serious than we've ever been before. Look at this world. How much clearer can it be to us that the Lord's going to come back soon? We need to get our priorities straightened out. He is the most important thing in our lives, nothing else. And when you put Him there, boy, you talk about the peace and the joy that you have even through trials and difficulties. He just reigns over them all. So I'm going to read this to you. Ephesians 5:5-16. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time. Why? Because the days are evil. The devil has a trap. What's he trying to do? Get you out of God's will. Get your focus off of God's will. And you know what? You better not argue with God, because I'm going to tell you, that's a dangerous place to be. I don't want to be there. I've been there before. I do not want to argue with Him. I want to know that I can lay down at night and know that I am where God wants me to be. So then, do not be foolish, understanding what the will of God is. That's found in Ephesians 5:15-16. Don't be foolish. I'm going to read that again. Therefore, be careful how you walk. Are you walking with Him? Are you walking in your own way, in your own plans? Are you following other people? Are you determining God's will by circumstances? Be careful. Don't walk as the unwise men, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. You can be drawn into that trap. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of God is. Is God trying to keep something good from us by telling us no from time to time? Don't get involved in this. Don't do that. You're too involved in this. Your focus is not on me. No. He loves us. That's why He tells us these things. Because He loves us. And if we could ever grasp that fact, it would leave a deep impression on our hearts. Satan, you know how he fools us, how he tricks us? He's evil. He mixes a little truth with a lot of error to make a picture look good. And how many times have I been counseling with people and they'll say, but you know, they offer this and this is good and this is good. And then you look at the whole picture. And then you begin to see what the devil is doing. Satan is always looking for ways to trap, to confuse, or to delude believers. If he can find a crack in the door, a weak point in your spiritual life, he will make every effort to mix a lot of error with just enough truth to make it look pretty, to make it look good. All the while, he's saying to you, just be open-minded. You're too closed-minded. You know, you take the word of God too seriously. You're trying to live too perfect. No, but that's what he says. That's what he says. None of us are perfect, and none of us are going to be perfect until we meet the Lord. But you know what? I believe what truth God has given us, that we need to stand on that. We are accountable for that. Truth does two things. It either sets a man free, or either it judges him because they did not follow the way the Lord has shown them to go. I want you to listen to this. Satan does far more greater damage as an angel of light than a roaring lion. Satan does far more greater damage as an angel of light than a roaring lion, because it's that angel of light that has mixed in that whole bunch of error with a little bit of truth that causes you to fall into a trap. I've seen so many people thinking that something was good and that they were doing something good, took their focus off of what was really the good. And that breaks my heart, because I have children like that. It really breaks my heart. One of the greatest traps Satan has out there today is causing people to accept the times with all the culture changes, which belittles what God's word teaches. Basically, the culture changes that are in the world today is, oh, everything is okay. There's nothing wrong. The Christian is wrong. So today in this world, wrong is right, and right is wrong. That's how badly we're off track from where we ought to be. So people begin to get caught up in the trends that are from Satan instead of staying close to God and valuing his word. Even the greater danger is they don't even know God's word. They've moved away from it so far, and culture and society has caused them to adapt to what's wrong anymore. He's the greatest example that we have. He didn't compromise. He didn't. And even when he was tempted, he was victorious. And that gives us all the encouragement that we need to know that we can accomplish God's will if we stay in his plan and we take him serious and follow his word and value him and his word. Another dangerous trap is making things look pretty and acceptable on the surface. Nothing is wrong anymore. Ugly can be made pretty to the world. You know, there's all kinds of ways to do it, to make it look pretty. But you know what? It just looks that way on the surface, but it's truly not. People don't see the danger in it, what can be around the corner. The antidote to this is to make sure we know God's will concerning every matter that we're involved in every day, to know God's will, to pray about it. That's not a fanatic. That's just being serious with the Lord. When you're that way, God balances you out. You're anything but a fanatic if you're genuine and sincere, because the Lord will make you a testimony to the world. And inside your heart, you'll know that peace that passes all understanding, and it only comes by knowing Him. We can be our worst enemy if we are not taking God's word serious and not listening to Him, by making our own plans, being affected by the world, being drawn away from the things that God has for us, has planned for us. I'm speaking from my heart tonight. I can go back, and because I'm older than some of you, I can look at a lot of experiences. And you know what? Every time I've made the choice to be serious with God and follow Him, He's honored it. And when those that I love do not do that, He gives me the grace to still love Him and put Him first and to stay in His will concerning my life. We can be our worst enemy if we are not careful by not making the right choices. How do we recognize? How do we stay out of traps? Knowing ourselves. Number one, recognize your weaknesses and your patterns that cause you to be tempted. Know what those besetting sins are, those sins that seem so easily to creep into your life, whether it be temper, whether it be pride, whether it be whatever it be, faithlessness, fear, anger, whatever it might be. Recognize your weak areas, because remember, if the devil can find a crack in the door or a weak point in your life, he can pull you into a trap. And then number two, one thing I do want to mention too, a weakness that is very deceptive and very hard to see sometimes is self-pity. Sometimes we can sit and cry a bucket of tears, and they're out of self-pity, not from repentance or sorrow for hurting the Lord. Beware of that sin of self-pity, because it will get you into a trap that's hard to get out of. It'll only bring discouragement. And number two, do not give, well, recognizing your weaknesses and patterns, do not give the devil a foothold. If you give him one little foothold, that's what he wants, and he thinks he's got you. Number two, recognize who and what you are drawn to. Hopefully, is to the Lord more than anything else. If not, we need to be careful and we need to get back on track. Number three, realize when you're being tempted to maybe want your will. This is about me. I'm in the center here. Know your motives. What are my motives for doing this? What are my motives? And even if your motives are good, still question, God, is this your will for me? Go deeper with it. If you really want to know, God will help you to know. Realize you've got that choice, and only you can make it. Understand you are in a warfare. God is the victor, not you. Boy, you look around at all this mess in our world today. There is nobody any more conservative than me and my husband. We are very conservative. But you know what? I realize what the scripture says. It's a warfare. I do what I can do, but I realize that I'm not the victor here. God is. And I have to be careful with that. I don't want to step out of my realm, my place, because if I do, I'm headed for a trap. Number five, not the least important, put God first. Recognize that only the Lord's going to last. You know that little saying that Mike says many times, only one life will soon be passed. And only what's done for Christ will last. These are not just words. I'm sharing these things. These things I'm sharing tonight with you are things that recycle in our lives from time to time, that the Lord goes over with us and that we're careful about. And I wanted to share those things with you tonight. I don't know what somebody might be going through, but it's always been a blessing to me to know that if I wait on the Lord, I will mount up with wings like eagles, and I shall fly above the troubles of this world, and I will not faint. I will be able to survive in the midst of trouble if I'll stay in my place. If not, what if the eagle didn't know how to fly? Don't you think there would be traps for it? Traps that would bring it to death. Even the birds know how to fly. And if they get off track, then they can be killed or trapped. And, you know, you think about different types of traps. The Venus trap, and it's one that's very deceptive, you know, and very pretty. But once the victim is in there, it closes. That's it. It has a little bit of nutrients for a while, and then it's death. So, you know, tonight, a good test as to whether you are headed for a fall or not is to ask yourself, am I where God wants me to be? Or is there some lack in my heart that I need to allow the Lord to meet? And you know what? The Lord does not show us our weak points to push us down and to say, yes, this is you, and to condemn us and to beat us over the head with. No, he does it for our good, our welfare, to show us how we can survive, how we can overcome. So I know I've gone over a little bit tonight, but I just wanted to share these points with you. Some of these points you carry in your heart all of your life. And these are things that I will take through my life with me, and they mean a lot to me. It means more to me than to be in God's will than anything else. Because you know what? If you're not in God's will, what you accomplish will not last. So make sure that you are in the center of God's will.